Well, it is my strong desire this morning that the Lord would meet with us, and I know I need the help from above today, desire and interest in your prayers. I'm inspired this morning with a subject that I believe that all of us are very familiar with, and suspect that all of us have had intimate experience with, and that is the subject of failure. We spent some time ago preached on a series of messages on being a people of victory, and not a people of victory because of our own human ability, not a people of victory because of special willpower that we were able to drum up within ourselves, not a people of victory just because we had a special determination that took hold in our lives, but a people of victory because we made a choice to follow the captain of the Lord of hosts, Jesus Christ. A people of victory because we were willing for the Spirit of God to have a central place in our lives, the preeminent one. We were willing to set aside our way, let the Spirit of God come into our lives and lead us and guide us, also so that sin didn't have to have reign in our lives anymore. The Holy Spirit came to do that. I don't believe this morning that Jesus Christ came in His power and His glory to come and leave His place in heaven, come down in the midst of those that were the created, become subject unto the very ones that He created, give His life in such a horrific manner, and shed His blood on the cross, and then rise on the third day, ascend into heaven, and then send His Holy Spirit to come live in our lives, only for us to continue living under the bondage of sin like we were before He ever even came down to earth. No, He came to bring us more than that. Jesus Christ came to bring us forgiveness. Jesus Christ came to bring us power, enabling power. Paul said in the 6th chapter of Romans in the 1st and 2nd verse, he said, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live in sin any longer?" And if you go down just a little bit further, the same chapter, chapter 6, verse 12, Paul said, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal members." Don't let it reign. It doesn't have to be something that has power and control over you in your life anymore. A different writer, John, in 1 John, the 2nd chapter, in the 1st verse, he tenderly said, "My little children, I write unto you that ye sin not." And there are other places in the Scriptures that clearly teach us that the Lord wants to save us, and He wants to set every one of us on a path that is outside of the sin business. I firmly believe that the Lord has power for us to do that as witnessed by His Spirit and by His Word. But here is an applicable question to consider this morning. What if we do fail? Have you ever failed? What if you sin? What if you know to do right and you don't do it? And you sin. That's what the Scripture says. He that knoweth to do right doeth not, to him it is sin. What if? Now I'm speaking to people that love God this morning. I want to preach by the help of the Lord where we live, where people live in this world. What if you discover that in the course of your Christian life that you're not where you thought you were? Maybe failed in a way that surprised you more than other people. You thought you were further along than where you were, and you come face to face with your face in the mirror. During a time of failure, what then? Is it time to throw up our hands and give up? Is it time to say, well, I guess I never had anything in the first place. I guess it's not for me. Well, first, folks, failure happens. And my guess is that if we were to go around the congregation this morning, and we were all honest with ourselves and before God, I suspect that all of us would have a testimony that there have been times, even, yes, since we have chosen to follow Jesus Christ and wanted to serve Him, wanted to do what's right, that we find ourselves in a place where we failed the grace of God in some way. We touched on some of this in the series of messages that we referenced, being a people of victory, and we find hope in the Scriptures. Lots of hope in the Scriptures, folks. That the Lord does not desire, it is not the Lord's intent to cast us away. But the Lord, as He told Joshua, He wants us to rise up from those places where we have failed, those places where we have come short, those places where maybe we have surprised ourselves and have grieved God. And He wants us to get up, and He wants us to go in power and in strength of His Holy Spirit and the forgiveness that He has available for us. Staying down in the dirt, developing a real close relationship with the ground, allowing yourself to wallow in discouragement, to let the enemy have a place in your mind and in your heart, allowing the door of your life to open up even wider to let further and additional sin come into your life is not what Jesus Christ wants for us. He has something better for us than that. He paid too great a price for us to turn away and give up, throw up our hands in discouragement when he shed his blood on the cross with mighty power to save to the uttermost and to keep us on a path that will lead us right into the gates of heaven through Jesus Christ. Don't give up this morning. The Lord wants us to keep going. Jesus Christ extends his hand of love. And he reaches down to us in those places where sometimes we can be so disappointed with ourselves. I know we can become disappointed with other people, but I don't know about you. I'll give you my own testimony. There isn't anyone I have been more disappointed with in life than yours truly. Me. But God does not want us to allow that to cause us to sink unto death. But he reaches down his hand with love and forgiveness to pick us back up, to set our feet on solid ground, to put a new song in our heart, and to lead us on home. And I trust this morning that we have internalized this truth, and that we have this in our spiritual toolkit, if I can say it that way, and that all of us today, as Christians, will be readily willing to flee to the city of refuge if you fail, if you sin, if you come short, if you do wrong, regardless of how wrong it may be. When you recognize the place that you're in, and if you are willing to get up in humility, flee to the city of refuge. Flee to the city of humility. Flee to the city of repentance and forgiveness. Because we have a high priest in Jesus Christ who is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins. He wants to do that for us. And in 1 John 2 and 1, that we already quoted from, where it says, "My little children, I write unto you that ye sin not." It didn't stop there. It said, "But if you do, if you fail, if you sin, if you fall, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, who is the propitiation or atonement for our sins." Thank God. Isn't that wonderful? There is yet hope if we fall and if we fail. And I am so thankful for this promise of truth. Because on more than one occasion I've had to avail myself of this precious gift of God. That it is not one failure and you're out. But if we will humble ourselves before God with a repentant heart, these scriptures say that he is faithful and just to forgive us. Let's remember that. Lest the enemy take advantage of a failure or fault or sin in our lives and cause us to turn away. Take advantage of us and set us on a path that is far from where Jesus Christ would have us walk. Oh, today the Lord looks upon us with love, and He invites us to follow Him and to get up when we fall, to redirect when we get off course, to get back on the highway of holiness when we take an exit that we shouldn't take. He invites us back to follow Him. Be encouraged with that today. And I have something else this morning that I feel impressed along with this, inspired to reinforce with this exhortation. And that is, be deliberate in learning from your failures. Learn from your failure. I don't want to fail the grace of God and displease the Lord, not be an accurate representation of who Jesus Christ is, and then get up and go on and learn nothing from it. I want to learn from those costly mistakes. There's enough negative consequences that are associated with failure, because often there are consequences. And often it doesn't just impact you, but many times our failures impact other people too. And so I don't want to live my life for the Lord where I don't take my failures seriously. But I want to learn from them. I want to be deliberate about learning from my failure. There's a number here today that are familiar with that process that's called root cause failure analysis. Many of you have practiced it, are acquainted with it. It's very prevalent in the business world as a tool to use, and basically what it is, it's a process to address failure. System failure, mechanical failure, business failure. And it is a very deliberate, intentional process to uncover with great honesty where nothing is covered. It's all got out in the open. Write it down, map it out, have it challenged by other people that have different expertise in different areas to make sure you don't miss anything. To uncover and recognize what it was that was at the root of causing that failure, including contributing factors. Sometimes people disagree on whether, well, was that just a contributing factor, or was that the root cause? Or are there more than one root causes? Well, we could debate that, but that's not the point this morning. The business world spends lots, significant time and money and resources to understand the cause of failure, to prevent reoccurrence. Folks, get a hold of this. For temporal things. For things that are going to pass away. For things that don't have eternal value. The world does that. There's a parable in the 16th chapter of Luke, and it speaks of an unprofitable servant that wasn't a very good steward in his Lord's household. And so he was going to be put out of the household. And there was a little bit of time between when the master of the house put him out and when he actually was put out. And that servant of the world looked at his situation and he paused and he considered and he looked ahead and he looked at what could be his situation. If he was put out of his master's house in the condition that he was at that time. And you know the story. He began to call all these people that owed his master things and said, "What do you owe?" And they said, "Well, I owe 10 of this." And he says, "Pay 5 and you're good." Called somebody else. "What do you owe?" "Well, I owe 50 of this." "Pay 30 and your debt's clear." And he kept doing that over and over, preparing for the time that he was going to have to be out of the house and deal with those people. He planned, he thought, he was deliberate. He didn't just wait until the next unfortunate situation came to then just react and respond. And at the end of that parable, Jesus said, "The children of this world are wiser than the children of light." I don't profess to understand everything that that means. But I want to challenge you with this morning. If the children of this world know how to look ahead and prepare for what is to come and take deliberate action to put themselves in a better place, don't you think that the Lord wants us to do that too? When we fail? May God help us to be diligent in taking action to protect not only the temporal things of this life, not only to be stewards of those things that eventually will pass, yea, those things that the Lord wants us to be good stewards of that pass, but that we be just as diligent and faithful with the matters of our soul. The writer of Hebrews in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, he said, "Let us lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us." But if I'm going to lay aside the weights that hold me back from being the Christian that God is calling me to be, I'm going to have to recognize what those weights are. And I don't want to just find myself in places of repeated failure over and over and over again and do nothing to identify what those things are that are pulling me down or are holding me back. And if the children of this world, if the manufacturing environments, the business, those people that give themselves to excelling in the business world, if they're willing to analyze and dig deep to gain understanding of why it is they failed, I want to have just the same degree of diligence and desire. Lord, help me understand what is at the root of my failure, that I might do my part to put in corrective action to prevent reoccurrence, if at all possible. Corrective action supported by the Word of God and His Holy Spirit. Let's be challenged to get as much good as we possibly can out of those unfortunate times when we fall and when we fail, that we might be stronger, more established, more aware, more capable Christians by the grace of God after the failure than we were before the failure. Let's not presume upon the grace of God in our failures and say, oh, well, that's why Jesus died. That's why He shed His blood. Oh, well, thank the Lord for that. I'm just a human. And then just go on with no sense of responsibility for our own actions. May God help us to learn and to pause, to step back and ask ourselves, are there habits in my life that I allow to remain that perhaps are a contributing factor to putting me in a place where I'm not able to overcome temptation? Are there behaviors that I allow in my life that maybe have been there for a long time that I just don't want to have to address because it's me? And I don't want to have to think about being somebody different, doing something different. I don't want to have to think about changing course. And yet those very things might be at the root of what causes us to fall. They might be a weight to us. Am I putting myself in vulnerable positions, in unnecessary situations and in environments, in life, perhaps places that on the face of it aren't sinful, maybe. Maybe we don't say, well, that thing right there is sin. Maybe the Bible doesn't say that's sin. But perhaps we discover in our honesty, in our intentional, deliberate desire to dig deep to understand why it is that I failed. And I find out that that thing is hindering me. I want to be honest with that. I want to be willing to do something about that. If we live our spiritual lives just kind of casually and, you know, without a real sense of urgency, to take responsibility for myself on a daily basis, then I'm going to find myself in places where I don't have on hand what I need to be able to resist temptation, to be able to avoid failure. And it's not because the grace of God is limited. It's not because God does not have what we need to keep us saved and living in a way that He's pleased with. It may be because I fail to walk in the light that He has shown me. I fail to pay attention to the nudging, to the still small voice of His Spirit. He whispers in my heart, in my mind, and says, Rod, this isn't helping you. You need to back off of this. Rod, you need to take more of this other thing into your life. You're going to hurt yourself. And I ignore those things, maybe because I don't want to come face to face with truth. Again, maybe because I don't want to change. Maybe I'm fearful of what the place that it might lead me. And so I turn my face to it and feel like there'll be another day. And the Lord in His faithfulness is trying to lead us and talk to us and point out those places in our lives that we need help in. Maybe I don't give myself to having a true desire to better understand what righteousness looks like in different areas of my life. You know, we have different areas of life. we won't spend the time to talk about all the different areas of life. But have you ever noticed that sometimes some people, it seems like, and I'm probably guilty of it too, we can fixate on an area of our life and maybe be critical of it, or maybe we're strong in that area. And that's what we like to talk about. We like to talk about our strengths. And we like to evaluate everybody else in terms of our strength, out loud anyway. Inside, often we do exactly the opposite. We evaluate our weakness with other people's strengths and become discouraged. But out loud sometimes, and maybe on social media, we present the beautiful picture and those things that we're proud of. But this thing over here, this other thing, we'd rather it just kind of stay locked in a door. We'd rather not have to deal with it. Don't want to address it. Really don't want to understand what righteousness looks like in that area of life, because we might be a little bit fearful of what we might find. What if? What if righteousness in this area of life is different from what and how I want to live? And so, we're slack. We avoid that area. Don't you know that that's the area the enemy is going to come after you in? That's your weak area. The enemy can get us in those places. Sometimes we're weak in some of the most fundamental areas of Christian living. Our reading and prayer life. It's talked about a lot. But it's because it's at the foundation of a healthy spiritual life. How's your reading of the Word, your life look like, your prayer life? Allowing the Lord space in your mind to talk to your heart? Or is there always noise? Is the volume always turned up? Are your eyes always engaged with something? And your ears and your mouth and your hands and your feet? All the things that are just fed to us more than what we can do in a given day. And we squeeze out the Holy Spirit of God, perhaps with non-sinful things. And maybe there's areas in our lives where we simply are getting too close to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and then we wonder, how did I fall? How did this happen? There's reason. But the good news this morning is that it's correctable and it's forgivable. The Lord has forgiveness for us. I want to leave you with this. After failure, Peter wept bitterly. And in one place, when he was sinking, he redirected his eyes to Jesus Christ. The woman that was caught in adultery, she didn't run from the reality of her situation. She was completely open with her failure before Jesus Christ. Zacchaeus did not continue on in the same way of living that he always did, but he changed course so that he wouldn't repeat past practice. He took action. It is one thing for us to fail. It's another thing to be a failure. We don't have to be failures. We're going to face some places of failure. We're going to fail sometimes. Sometimes the Lord allows us to fail, folks, so that we better understand who we are, because He wants us to grow in that area. Sometimes growth comes through failure. Let's be as the man that was spoken of, I believe, in the 24th chapter of Proverbs. It said, a just man falleth seven times and rises again. I want to be like that man. Let's rise like Joshua was exhorted to do by God when they failed. And he was down on his face in the dirt with despair and discouragement because of their failure. And the Lord said, rise. Let's be willing to redirect our eyes to Jesus Christ, as Peter did. Let's be willing to be open before God with our failure, like the woman that was caught in adultery. Let's not cover it up. It doesn't help anything. Sometimes we're afraid to get it out in the open because, after all, we're a Christian, and if I acknowledge that I failed, well, I'm not supposed to fail, so if I don't acknowledge it, then maybe, therefore, I didn't fail. No, it doesn't work that way. Just be open before God, and then be like Zacchaeus and take action. When he began to recognize the places in his life where he'd failed, he took action to reverse course so that he didn't have to do that again. Brothers and sisters, this morning, let's be encouraged that we serve a God that is mighty to save and mighty to keep. Let's continue to press on. Let's continue on in doing those things that we know is right. And if we fall, and if we fail, it does not have to be a sin unto eternal death. But let's show the enemy, and let's show Jesus Christ, that we will not let failure keep us from getting back up and pressing on. Because if we will be faithful to continue to follow Jesus Christ no matter what, He's going to see us through. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And that includes me, and it includes you. This morning, let's be faithful to fulfill our responsibility in these things. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.